But God is he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, the Bible said. And I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. Now, you may have thought I was through with that. We've had so many things going on. But I keep reading it myself devotionally, and I hope maybe you do, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And so something got in my heart during the week this week, and I want us to come and deal with that this morning. And so I'm just thankful for God speaking my heart, and I hope he'll speak to your heart again in regard to this passage of Scripture. And thank the Lord for his goodness to us and for what he's done for us and how he's blessed us. And he has means of blessing us. I'll say more about that. Let me just read the text verse. I was going to read. Matter of fact, I read through this, the three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, several times this week and kind of timed myself, see how long it would take. And just for the sake of time, I'm not going to try to do it. We've been blessed. Everything that's gone on has been a blessing from heaven. But I want you just to look with me just at a few verses. Look in Matthew chapter 7, right kind of in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And look at verse number 7. There again, we can't always say these numbers are inspired of God because they came about later after the Word of God was compiled and had all of the book canonized, is what they call it, get it all together. And later the division into chapters and verses. But to me, I just see every now and then numbers that mean something. 7 in the Bible is the number of completion or perfection. 7 days and he rested, the world was created. And so look at 7:7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to help me. God, give me clearness of thought. And God, I pray, God, that you help me. God, speak through me. These are your people. Our Father, I thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. And Lord, in my own heart, I've wondered many a time what it must have been like to sit there at the base of that mountain and listen to our Savior speak. And yet, Lord, every time I pick your word up, it's the same words recorded in the Word of God just for me and for my friends and for those who know the Lord. These are the words that Jesus spoke that day to those people. And our Father, how relevant they are to us today here at this wonderful church. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand that every victory in the past was a prayer victory. The purchase of this land, the building of this building, all of it was a result of God's people asking and seeking and knocking. All good things that come in our lives are, Father, a result of your marvelous grace. God, we thank you for this means that you've given to us to procure from you those things that are necessary and needed in my life and their lives. God, you've given us this wonderful avenue called prayer, that we can come directly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need, that all of our needs might be supplied. Our Father, we don't have to go through a preacher or pope or anybody else. Every individual who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a child of the King, and who God is their Father, has a direct access to your presence in the means of prayer. Now help us, Lord Jesus, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice this passage of Scripture. It's a very simple passage of Scripture, but it's so meaningful to us. I have this past week, I was doing my devotion, and as I was praying and I got through, I don't pray very long kneeling, but I kneel every morning as I begin to do my devotion and pray every morning. And I don't pray very long, and sometimes I get up and I feel guilty that I should have prayed more, but as I read, I'm praying, and through the day we pray and seek the Lord. But I did notice this. I said, Lord, please don't let me use vain repetition. Because on every morning, just about every morning, when I'm praying a very simple prayer upon my knees every morning, I thank the Lord, of course, for His mercy and grace and for a good night. And then I make some requests. And as I was sitting there, I think maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, Monday morning, I just scribbled those requests down that I had just got through praying for. And I prayed this simple prayer. I prayed, first of all, that He would purge me from every sin. I ask Him always to purge me from every sin, sin of commission and sin of omission. And I don't name them unless the Holy Ghost of God gives to my mind. But I ask Him to purge me and forgive me if there's anything in my heart and spirit that's not right. Please forgive me and cleanse me. The second thing I pray for, Lord, fill me with Your Word and with Your Spirit, because I'm getting ready to read the Word of God every morning. And I can understand this. I've been preaching a good long time and read the Bible many times, but still I can't understand the spiritual application, spiritual truth, except the Holy Spirit of God help me. He has to do that. The Bible said the natural man does not receive the things of God. And I've still got a natural man. He hadn't got a bit better since the day I got saved. He's still there. He still desires worldly things. And you've got an old nature in you, the same way. That old nature in you don't want to go to church. It don't want to read the Bible. It don't want to serve God. It wants things, wants to think things and say things it ought not to think and say. But Paul had the same problem. He said, I've got a law within me. When I do good, there's always evil present, things I would do, I don't do, and things I don't want to do, that's what I do. He battled the flesh, and we all have those two natures if we've been saved by the grace of God. So I pray that, Lord God, please fill me now with Your Spirit and with the Word of God. And then the third thing I always ask Him to do, Lord, help me to obey You. I want to do what God wants me to do. And then lastly, and you say, Brother Bill, it should have been first. I can't help it. This is the way I always pray. I said, God, please get glory out of my life. Get all the glory, and I'll thank You. So there's four little simple things. There's things that I pray for in some form or fashion every day, very simply, and God help me. And then I got to thinking, I got up, the Spirit of God was speaking to me, and I wrote those things down. I said, wow. God, if You answered that simple prayer, wouldn't it be something that I wouldn't have anything in my soul, nothing between my soul and the Savior, and that He would speak to me through His Word and fill me with the Holy Ghost, that He would help me to be obedient, whatever He tells me to do from the Word of God or through the inspiration of the Spirit of God during the day, and that He would get glory out of my life every day. Boy, if God just answered those four little requests, what a blessing it would be. But here in the middle of this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord's talked about a lot of different things, but He gives us in several places in this Sermon on the Mount things about prayer. And we know from His life how important prayer was to Him. And here are these little truths that we see here today. Three words, and He said, do this. You ought to do this as you come to this time of prayer. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Brother Ricky always asked me the title of my sermon. And I told him, ask, seek, and knock. And he said, I'll try to remember that order. And I said, let me tell you what I did. When you look at it there, those three words, ask, seek, and knock, just look at the first letter of each one of them. Ask, A, seek, S, and knock, K. It's the word ask. It's the word here, you ask. He wants us to learn to ask. Now, God loved you, and He purposed to save you when He gave His Son. He loved you before the foundation of the world, loved you when you were unlovely, loved you when you hated the Word of God, loved you when you hated everything around. But God saved you because He wanted for you good. He wanted you to live in His presence. The Lord echoed that as God incarnate in the flesh in John 17 when He said, Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold My glory. Did you know that Jesus Christ wants everybody in this building saved? He wants everybody in the world to be saved. He gave His own Son. The Lord, the Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoso will might be saved. You can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And He wants you to be saved. But now when you're saved, He didn't say, wow, I'm glad that's over. They're saved. He had a plan for your life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But He said this, but we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Did you know, I believe this with all my heart, that God has purpose to save you, but he also has a will for your life. And when you come to this matter of praying, let me just say a few things in regard to this prayer. He said, if you'll seek, you'll find, and so on. And then he said that everyone who seeks, everyone who asks, everyone who prays gets what they pray for. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to trick you. You don't have to raise your hand. But is there anybody in here that would say, now, wait a minute, I have asked, I have sought, I have knocked, and I didn't get everything I asked for? I'm going to raise both hands. Now, is that a contradiction to the Word of God? No. But it's because God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. And the way he gets things to us is through prayer. Now, understand this. He is our Father, which means provider. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. He's given you so many things even before you get saved. Some of you in here this morning not saved. But God's blessed you with breath. He's blessed you with life and rain and everything else. There are general blessings that he gives, and they're just general provisions that he gives to his children. But particularly, there are certain things that he gives. My wife buys all of the grandchildren something. But do you know how she buys those? She doesn't just buy a blank list. They all make lists, computer lists, long 3 or 4 pages of lists sometimes. And she don't buy all of them because she buys about the same thing for each one of them, or does buy the same thing for each one of them. But she buys for them things that she knows that they will enjoy or they need. And so what God's done, he has a purpose in my life and your life. And the way that he provides for us, that he's already predetermined he would help us, is that we come before him and we ask. Now, why would he do that? Why do we have to even ask? Why don't he just give us everything we need? He promised he'll meet all of our needs, and he does do a lot of things generally, but why does he want us to pray? And I wrote down several little things that spoke to my heart. Number one, it would remind me always of my source. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of life. Everything I've ever had, every mouthful of food, every Bojangles biscuit I've ever eaten in my life. My doctor would question that, whether that's the will of God or not. But he just needs to get right with God and he'll do it. But he'd understand. But can I tell you that God has already promised to meet all of my needs? And I'm thankful that he does. But he taught me to ask because it will remind me. Why do you ask the blessing over your food? Because you're acknowledging that he gave it to you. He gave you the ability to eat it. You could have the most wonderful buffet in the world right in front of you, but if you did not have the capacity to chew or to swallow or to assimilate that food in your body, it wouldn't do you any good. I know a lot of people who in a certain type of illness and sometimes when they're sick, they don't care for anything. I'm always trying to take people something to eat. I just like to see them happy. And I took Brother Danny a cheddar biscuit and a side of country ham. He asked me about it, and so I took it to him. And I was telling Mike, I said, when I went in the house, boy, he was just giddy, just laughing. He was tickled to death. I had that Bojangles in my hand. And I wasn't sure if he was happy because I was there or because the biscuit was there. But regardless, it blessed me that I was able to give him something he really wanted. And please forgive me, I think it's beneficial to him. It helped him. But listen, God has provided for us, and he's planned to give us what we need. But he wants us to come to him in prayer because it'll keep us reminded that he's our only source and that we are totally dependent upon him. Also, I wrote this little note down to myself, that because it will provide me opportunity to fellowship with him in prayer. Just to be in his presence. I don't know who it was. It might have been Brother Allen or somebody was sharing. Boy, it was a blessing. And he said, I need to call my son. And the wife said, why have you got to talk to him about? What you need to tell him something? No, I just want to hear his voice. And can I tell you that in the book of the Song of Solomon, we hadn't quite got there yet in chapter number 2, but he's trying to get her to go with him. The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get the bride to go out with her. And he said, arise, my love, and come away. And then he said, I want to see your countenance. I want to hear your voice. Did you know God wants you to pray because he wants the fellowship with you a little while? And we, of course, continually pray. But he wants us to pray because of that. God made it that way, that we could have time in his presence. And then because I know this, that whenever I pray and God blesses me, it creates in me a great sense of gratitude. I'm so very thankful when God blesses me. And when God responds to our prayers, it blesses us, whatever way it is, by means, emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever. But it also creates in us a spirit of gratitude, and we really are thankful. It also creates in us a spirit of humility, that the God of heaven, who causes the sun to rise and to set and feeds all the birds, took time to listen to me. And what a humbling thing to know that we can talk to him. Prayer is a wonderful thing. But what about this passage of Scripture? You look at it, is it a blank check? Is it a blank check to do the will of God for us to pray? Can we have anything we want in that regard? Well, we're reminded in the Word of God that he said, if you ask anything according to my will. Now, I have a whole lot of things, like Brother Barry. I wanted to talk to you some, and I won't take time to do it, about things that hinder us from getting our prayers answered. One of those is if we are not clean. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me, because he wants us clean. And quite often you may pray about something else, but while you're praying, the Holy Ghost of God is saying, what about this? What about this thought you had? What about this thing you did? And I believe we ought to be clean when we approach the throne of God. Sometimes we don't ask in faith. Sometimes we don't ask believing. He said, if you come, James did, if you come and you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways, and you ask and you don't get it because you did not ask in faith. Sometimes we ask amiss, he said, that we want to consume it on our own lust. In other words, we pray for things just because we want them. Has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with God's glory, it's just something we want. Don't care whether it blesses anybody else or not, it's just something we want. God doesn't always do that. But he said, if we do this according to the will of God, and I think this is what Holy Ghost of God settled in my heart that I really want us to see. I want you to understand this, that God didn't quit loving you when he saved you. And as I begin to think about the will of God, he said, if you ask anything according to my will, I'll do it. God already has in his heart, in the mind of holy God, what will best benefit you, what will bless you, what will cause you to receive a greater blessing and be a blessing to more people and for him to get more glory. He knows what it is. And I believe he's already got it laid up in store for you, already got your name on it. He's made this way of you getting it. You do a form, you fill out a form. And you say, here it is. Now, these are not magical words, to ask, to seek, knock. Actually, I believe they are progressive words. Ask is just simply saying, I want this. Seeking is that you seek the mind of God and will of God in regard to that. In our beginning of our Christian life, all we know how to do is ask. We just ask, kind of like your children. You know, they'll ask you for it. They want this, they want that, they want the other. But as they begin to grow, they think about more important things. And they consider what they're asking for before they ever ask you about it. But then to knock is this idea that there is something between me and the Savior that has to be opened up. Sometimes it's us. And sometimes when we come to knock and we're seeking him, we want to seek his will and know his will, but there's maybe something between us and him that needs to be opened up. It might be something down in me. Maybe the way I want to ask or what I'm doing. But the will of God is a wonderful thing. Sometimes we think it's God's way of not giving us what we really want. But he said, if you ask anything according to my Father's will, he'll do it. God's got a plan. And of all the things that God could have done for you, he's already laid out what's best for you. Best for you. Now, I want to do something this morning, and this came in my heart. I hope it works. Amen. I had spoken to a few people about helping me this morning. If all of you would come up real quick, and just gather around here real quick. And I'm gonna explain to you what we're gonna do. And I want it to be where we can see that. And I need a few more people. If Becky come and help me, you don't have to say anything. But I want you, if you guys would make a circle right here, come make a circle, not you, you stay here and you stay over here, all right? Wait, right there. All right, just make a circle around Tim, okay? Tim, you got a mic, okay. Back up. There's a reason I picked you to play this part. Okay. Now, can you reach where you can hold hands? You don't have to hold them necessarily tight or anything, but just right now, you stand right here. I'll tell you when. Some people, okay. All right. Here you are right in the middle. Tim is every one of us, and he's going to pray. This is the will of God. Now look, get this in your mind. When the devil came to attack Job, what did Job say God had done for him? He put a hedge around him. I always thought that hedge was just like angels around him to keep bad things from coming in. And that is true. He does have angels encamped around us and he does protect us. But I'm telling you right now, the greatest protection for you is the will of God. I've often said to moms and dads who say their children are called into the ministry, going to the mission field, and they don't know about them going over there. I got tickled at Teresa. She's talking about Nikki was going over to Africa. And she said, I'm praying for her. Said she'll bring a snake back or do something other. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, the safest place in the world is in the center of God's will. And so the hedge around Job was God's will. There wasn't anything going to come into his life, whether I considered it good or bad. And I found out that sometimes the things I thought were bad or hurtful, whether it's an infection or whatever it is, that God, the Word of God is true. That God meant it, like Joseph said, God meant it for good. The devil might have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And inside of God's will, he allowed it to happen because it was for my good and for his glory. There have been some things I prayed about that I knew that I needed or wanted, and I could find no biblical reason why I couldn't have it. But God didn't choose to do it. Why? Because he's smarter than I am, believe it or not. And he has a will. And what's protecting me is the will of God around that. But now, he said, if you pray, if you'll seek, if you'll knock, you can get what you want. But then he goes on in the book of John, he said, if you ask anything according to my Father's will, according to my will, he'll do it. And so now, Tim is us. And first of all, he's going to pray for something, and he's going to pray out loud so we can hear him praying. Just go around and try to get in the circle. Okay. All right. Y'all are not going to let the guy in the blue shirt in. Okay. All right. All right. Here's Brother Tim. He's going to pray a prayer.
You know, Father, today I really believe I could use $1 million. Where's it at? Amen.
Anything wrong with that prayer? Could you use $1 million? Some of you, y'all are richer than I thought you were, praise God. I thought everybody near here would say, yeah, I'd like to have $1 million. I mean, listen, can you think of one reason that it would hurt you to have $1 million? Yeah, here's how we think. We all do this. If we're thinking, sometimes we ride along, we see that, you know, $5 billion on lottery. And Virginia said, what would we do if we got that? Well, we always try to be spiritual and say, well, first thing we do, we do this for the Lord. We'd go ahead and build a Christian life center for the church and all like that. But then we begin to think about other things that we might could do and for the children, everybody else. And I can see where God could get glory out of that. But he's asked for $1 million. Dwayne is $1 million. And he might be worth a plug nickel, but he is $1 million. In this illustration, he's $1 million. And Tim, pray one more time, will you? Because the Bible said, if you knock, if you seek, if you ask, you're going to get it.
Father, I pray today just instead of $1 million, just give me the daily bread that I need to eat.
Wait, don't pray that part yet.
Oh, not that part?
I want you to repeat the million. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you know, the IRS is really wanting $1 million, so why don't we just go ahead and pray for $1 million today?
Okay. All right, here's our $1 million. Go ahead. He's encircled by the will of God. Nothing wrong with $1 million. $1 million, there's nothing wrong. The Bible says love of money is the root of all evil, but nothing wrong with money. You could do a lot of good things with $1 million, except for one thing. It's not the will of God. Not the will of God. God knows better than us. Brother Tim's going to pray a second prayer that he taught him in also the book of the Word of God on the Sermon on the Mount when he taught us how to pray. And he says this.
Our Father, I pray today that you would just give me the the daily bread that I need.
Go ahead.
No problem. You understand? Let's thank these folk for helping us today. God bless you, Dwayne. Thank you, Bud. Thank you, Bud. God bless you, Andrew. Bless y'all. Thank you, Tim. Everyone in this building who's saved by the grace of God is encircled by the will of God. I think inside that circle of the will of God, there may be what we could term the permissive will of God, that we might do things or things we ought not to do. But God has a perfect will, and we are encircled in that. The Bible says, Paul said about the praying, he said, the Holy Spirit of God helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered because often we don't know how to pray as we ought. I think about certain individuals and certain needs, and do we pray for God to heal them? Absolutely. Have we seen God do wonderful, miraculous things? Absolutely. Does that mean that if God didn't heal them, that we did something wrong? Not necessarily. Does it mean that if we pray and God doesn't heal or do this, that, or the other, I mean, God doesn't love us? Not at all. We're for sure about that. But God has a will. And the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, who those who are called according to His purpose. He has a purpose. I don't always understand His purpose. For the longest kind of time, I tried to find some rhyme or reason for our oldest daughter dying with leukemia. I said, God, it must be something I did, something Regina did or we did that caused her to die. But it was not. God had a perfect plan. I saw God do some things in my life and the life of some other people. Do I fully understand it? No. Do we have a picture of our daughter Christy in our hall that I walk by many times a day and look and wonder what she looks like now and what she looked like when we get there? Yes. Do I still not know why? I don't know why. But I do know this, He loves me. And He has me encircled with the will of God. And you as well, if you know Him, we pray. And He said, if you'll seek, if you'll knock, He'll give you those things that are necessary. And He'll bless you with it. But as you begin to grow in the Lord, you see Him answer prayer, you begin to get to this place where you pray more in His will. You learn to seek His will and ask Him and genuinely mean it. Lord, we want Your will done. And we thank You for it now in Jesus' name. What a blessing. One quick note just in passing. He says this, He qualifies all of this with this statement. He said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more would your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? The qualifying thing about this seeking and knocking and asking and seeking and knocking is that you're His child. You got to be saved, be born again by the grace of God. You know Him, you have access to the throne through the blood of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved today, the most important thing is for you to be saved. Am I trying to give you some sort of magic formula for getting everything you need? No. I'm sharing with you what Jesus said. Exactly what He said here. I read it to you out of the Bible. Ask, seek, and knock. And He said, God will give you what you need and what you will bless. And it'll be, notice what He said, good things. That's all He ever gives His children is good things. Does it mean that sometimes I don't recognize good? Lots of times I don't recognize good. I don't recognize things happen. How can this be good? How can this be good? God's got a plan. And when it's all said and done, it'll be better. Somebody said, God answer all our questions when we get to heaven. Probably not. We probably won't have any questions when we get to heaven. Won't matter. But God knows this. I want you to know this, God's got a will for your life. And whatever He's let come into your life as His child, He meant it for your good and for His glory. You may not understand it now, but somewhere down the road you will. But He instructs us to ask, to seek, and to knock. Keep on keeping on. And I think that's what we ought to do, just be faithful to Him in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads together, and someone's going to come to the piano and play. And we're going to have prayer. This morning, Brother Calvin has been busy, busy, busy. Last week, he was all the way down in Florida, and he preached down there in a big ball tournament, about 300 kids. He got to share the gospel with them. He's been to the prison already this morning and preached, and by the ball field and preached, and he slipped into the services just now, a little bit ago. We'll pray for him in a moment. But right now, I want us to stand together, if you can stand this morning. And if God the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart, maybe you've been trying to work out everything and you've been frustrated. There's nothing that comes into your life or nothing that's not allowed to come into your life except according to the will of God. You may not understand it today, but that thing you're praying about most, it may not be God's perfect will right now. But in the phrase asking and seeking and knocking, those are present perfect sense of the verbs. It means you put an ing on them. Asking and seeking and knocking. If you're praying about something God hadn't done it yet or hadn't said no, just keep on asking, just keep on seeking, just keep on knocking. He has a time frame for letting you have certain things, doing certain things. Don't quit. I've known people who prayed for somebody for 40 years and then they got saved. That's why he said that. But think about all the times that you got into the very close presence of God in those 40 years. Think about it and all the wonderful things he did for you, and blessed you with. Don't focus on that unanswered prayer, but rejoice in the answered prayer and keep on asking about the others. Maybe you want to just slip around this altar and make a request one more time about something. This might be the very occasion that he says, now's time. If you're not saved, we certainly would love for you to trust Christ this morning. And you know how you get saved? Same way that we get our needs met. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe in your heart. I believe this morning that he speaks to your heart and you have to open that door. He said in Revelation, I know it's referenced to some other things, but it's a good application. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him. If the Spirit of God's been speaking to you about being saved, he knows you already, but you don't know him yet. But if he's knocking at your heart's door, if you'll open it up by faith and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. Please come in, forgive me, save me right now. Then you'll meet him. He'll come in, he said, make you a brand new creature. Many around the altar already, I invite you to come join these friends around the altar this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray now that your perfect will would be done in the life of every believer. God, I pray you'd help us to learn to live and knowing that you loved us before the foundation of the world. You loved us at Calvary. You loved us in resurrection morning. You loved us in your ascension back to heaven. You love us now that you're seated at the right hand of the Father to ever live, make intercession for us. And God, we know that we've got a will of God around us as a hedge. And God, you only let come in those things according to your will. We may not recognize them as blessings to begin with, but God, you have certain things. And everything that comes that way, God, you have a blessing tied to it in some form or fashion. And God, help us to, learn to rest and to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, bring us to that place where we'll just resign ourselves and rejoice in the perfect will of God. And God, to give you glory in all of that.